think I'm just going to borrow one of these music stands, if I may. It is good to be here tonight. I'm sorry that I have to be the one to bring that news to you, but maybe that's part of God's plan too. As I said, I knew the Normans well. Sid was a principal when I was in high school. Hopefully he doesn't remember too much of that, because I did spend a few times in his office. But I know the family, and I just appreciate them for who they are and have gotten to know the Gabrielses and so forth. So again, I think it's sometimes God just puts us in places where we don't. I think there's more than a reason just to be here tonight and preach to you that I'm here. And I just praise God for that. I also praise God for the opportunity to come back tonight and lead you in a message during Lent. And Lent is that time leading up to Easter. I'm doing a Lenten series in my own church, and what I'm asking my church family to do each week is really to use Lent as a time to look deep into our own souls, to look at our own hearts, look at our relationship with Christ, and to look at our own level of faith, and not only say, who am I? We just sang that song, I am a child of God, right? But what does that mean? When we're in Christ, we're a new creation. We're not a remodel or a remake or refurbished, okay? We're new. We're new people. The old is gone, Paul says. The new is here. We're these new people in Christ. But what does that look like? Who are we really? Who are we on Sunday? Who are we on Monday? Who are we as parents? Who are we as children? Who are we as employees in the workplace? What does that mean? What does our heart really look like when we're in Christ? And at Lent, I like to look at it and say, where am I in my relationship with Christ? As Reformed people, we often think of sanctification, that lifelong process of becoming more and more like Christ, right? Well, where are we in that? But at Lent, what I'm asking is, what might be holding us back from moving forward? Or what might be holding us back from living the life that Jesus came and died to give us? So taking that and putting into context and bringing Scripture into it, let me first off share two different passages. The first is John 10:10, where Jesus says, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. I have come so that you might have life and have it more fully. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, states it this way. A thief is there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I like that. Better life than we've ever dreamed of. What do you dream of and what are you experiencing? That's the first text. The second text I look at is this one. Luke 4, starting in 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news spread about him through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. When I read that text a few weeks ago the first time, I thought, Jesus came to set the prisoners free. Who are the prisoners? Well, as I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know what? The only people in prison aren't the people behind bars. Sometimes I think we are in prison, huh? We have our own prisons, these walls and things that we just can't get over, things that hold us back, just like we're captive sometimes and we can't move forward. People like you and I, well, what are some of the prisons that I think that you and I can be held captive to? Sometimes it's the past. We all have a past, don't we? Thank God we all have a future too. But we all have a past, and sometimes there's things in our past that just kind of come back and haunt us, isn't there? There's things in our past that we hope nobody ever finds out, because if they found out, we'd be embarrassed terribly. There's things that in our past that we need to forgive others, and we need to forgive ourselves sometimes. There's just stuff in the past, and that stuff in the past often leads to the prison of a negative self-image. And a negative self-image is a downward spiral, because we just continue to criticize and condemn ourselves, and we don't recognize we're this new creation in Christ, and we sort of trap ourselves into who we were, and we let it fester and grow, and it just works negatively on our hearts and minds. Another prison is anger. I don't know about you, but I think we live in a world that's getting angrier and angrier. I know the rest of the world looks at us and says, why are Americans so angry? That was an article I read just a couple weeks ago. And that came from the British Broadcasting Corporation. There's all kinds of statistics on anger and what anger does to us and the chains, how it holds us back from living that life. Another one is greed. Greed can keep us in prison. But then there's this biggie, I think, and it's the prison of fear. The prison of fear often holds us back. If I were to ask each of you, and I won't ask you to answer out loud, but let me just throw a couple questions out there. Thinking of the past, have any of you ever said, if I only would have done this? If I only would have done that when I had the chance. If I only would have made a different decision or a better decision, maybe things would look different. Or if I only would have had whatever to do whatever. And I said, because I didn't have whatever, I didn't do whatever. And we put some self-limitations on us by what we felt we had to work with. Or if I only had more of something, I would then do it. I think we've all been there. We ask ourselves that sometimes. And in so many ways, looking back or looking forward, we feel trapped. We feel imprisoned. I think the older I get, sometimes I go back and I think, maybe I should have started ministry earlier. Or maybe I should have done this in my early years of my business career. What if I would have done this different as a dad? What if I would have made some better choices than I made earlier in my life, so I wouldn't have to go back and look at my past and maybe regret some things or have to do things different? I think we've all been there. I think we've all been there. And if we let those things hold us hostage, if we let fear hold us hostage, we'll never live that life that Jesus came to give us, that life that's fuller and freer, better than we've ever dreamed of. I want to put this into the context of breaking the prison or breaking the chains of fear. And I want us to look at Matthew 14, a familiar story. And I hope it speaks to all of you tonight. It's a favorite, one of my favorite stories. And I want to just look at it for a few minutes with you here. The caption above says, Jesus walks on water. Matthew 14, 22. And I'm reading it and you're looking at it there from the New Living Translation. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills to pray himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. Some translations say, "Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt?" And I just lost my page here. But it's okay, because we're going to stop there. We know the rest of the story. Jesus reached out his hand and saved Peter, didn't he? He reached out his hand and he saved him. I love this story. It's a rich story. The NIV refers to it as Jesus walks on water. The NLT does too. It could also easily have been called the disciples' fear for their lives. It could have also been called Peter walks on water. Maybe a modern translation might be you miss the boat when you stay in it. Or faith to walk on water. But here's the reality of the story. When the disciples were out on the water, they saw the storm, didn't they? When they were out on the water at 3 a.m, they were paying attention to the storm. They were watching the wind and the waves, and they were far from land, and they saw these things, and all they saw was trouble, didn't they? You can picture it if you were on the lake in the dark. I've never been to the Sea of Galilee. I hope to be on a boat in the Sea of Galilee 4 weeks from now. I hope there's not a storm, and I hope I'm not out there at 3 a.m. But they tell me that the wind comes down from the sides of the mountain into that lake, and it's a very turbulent lake. And you can just imagine the darkness and the mountains and being out in the middle of the lake at 3 a.m. I think I would be scared too. I'd have some fear. And it says they saw something coming towards them. If you look at it in the Greek, it says not a ghost but a phantom, a dead person walking towards them. I think I would be scared too if a dead person was walking towards me. You can see fear on top of fear here, if you will. But here's what puzzles me. They had just been with Jesus. They just saw him multiply the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And yet they had fear. And then when they recognize it's Jesus, he says, "Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm here." Here's what I wonder. And often this gets overlooked in the story, I think. Why didn't the others get over the side of the boat? Why was Peter the only one that said, "If it's you, Lord, let me come to you"? Why did the other 11 stay in the boat? Why was Peter the only bold one that said, "Let me walk on water, Lord. If that's you, then let me come to you"? What on earth was Peter thinking? Did he really think he could walk on water? But what Peter was thinking is, "Lord, give me the chance. If it's really you, give me the faith. Let me step over the boat and let me walk on water. Let me come to you." Now, the others were probably thinking, "Peter, you're not staying in the boat. Do you realize the storm, the darkness? Do we really, what's going to, you're going to sink." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come. Lord, if it's you, let me do something I've never done before." And Jesus says, "Come over the side, Peter. Walk on water." I think Peter's faith was greater than his fear. For the other disciples, perhaps their fear was greater than their faith. Peter got to do something the others never got to do. I think for several reasons. One is because Peter was in step with God. Peter was in step with Jesus. He had a relationship. "Lord, if it's you, let me come." There was an element of faith there. He knew who he was dealing with, and he trusted, didn't he? I like that. I wonder what the others were thinking. Well, they're thinking, "See, Peter, look what happened when you stepped out." And Jesus said, "Yeah, it's you." And he said, "Come." And all of a sudden, you started sinking, Peter. Well, when did Peter start sinking? When Peter started looking at the wind and the waves, what the other ones looked at. When he started looking at that again, he started sinking, didn't he? When he took his eyes off Jesus, Peter started sinking. And I thought, what a lesson for us. When we take our eyes off Jesus, and we think we can do it on our own. When we step out in faith saying, "Lord, if it's you, I'm coming to you," and we're walking with Jesus and we take our eyes off of him, it's pretty easy to start sinking, isn't it? And then I think about that. I think how Peter was made so much stronger in his faith because he was tested. And God allowed him. Jesus allowed this test and his faith was made stronger. And while the others might have been thinking, "Peter, what are you doing?" And they saw him sink. Oh, when Peter was sinking, Jesus looked at him and said, "You have little faith." Jesus was right there when Peter was sinking, wasn't he? To reach out his hand and make sure that he didn't sink. And I look at the others and I think at that point, maybe they weren't wondering anymore, "Peter, what were you doing?" Maybe they're saying, "Why didn't I have the faith to do the same thing?" I think fear kept them in the boat, didn't it? And one of the things I want you to look at tonight, and one of the questions that I want to ask you is, what is it that's keeping you in that boat, that chain of fear? What is it that's keeping you from doing something that God wants to do for you or with you or through you? But you're not stepping out of the boat. The chain, the anchor, if you will, is keeping you in the boat. I often think of that. When God nudges us, how do we respond? Like the 11 or like Peter? Are we willing to step out and trust God and even be willing to sink a little bit, knowing that God is still there and He's not going to let us drown? I think it's when we step out of the boat in faith is when God steps in and we see Him the most. I don't know if I can be personal with that. That's been my story. Honestly, I was scared to death when I left the business world going into seminary. Seminary was a scary place for a business guy. And God, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with me? I'm not the person. I wanted to stay in the boat. And Jesus said, no, get out of the boat. And then to plant a church in the middle of a sea of CRCs and RCAs and PCAs and you name it all around us, right? Plant another church. Other people are saying, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Yeah, there were times that I felt we were sinking. There were times that I felt I was sinking. One of those times, I'll just share a story. Back in 2008, when I took the call to plant a church, and this isn't about me, I'm just using this for an illustration. In 2008, I ended my previous call on August 31st, took a new call on September 1st to plant a new church. Something I'd never done before. And did I wonder? Yes. Did I have faith? Yes. Did I have enough faith? Maybe not. Could I do it on my own? Absolutely not. Well, by the time Christmas came, we all know what happened, or most of you know what happened in October of 2008 when the economy crashed and housing crashed, the stock market crashed. Well, what happened with money? Nobody had any money. And 2 weeks before Christmas, when I was in the office that I was given to use, one of the owners of the company came in and he just looked at me and he said, you don't look good today, Randy. And I thought, it must be that bad then. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, you know, this is the biggest mistake of my life, going in to plant this church. And he just looked and he said, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And I said, the economy tanked. I said, we have enough money for one paycheck. That's it. After this next paycheck, I'm done. That's a pretty scary feeling. And he just looked at me and told me, yeah, their business wasn't doing good either. I knew that. And I said, you know what? I said, Jeff, I'm going home and I'm going to have lunch. And what I do when I go home for lunch is I first go to the mailbox to see what bills are going to be there. We probably do the same thing. But I went to the mailbox that day and there was a check for $5,000. How does God do that? Somebody who's never walked through the door of In Spirit. You know, I thought maybe God's going to do something here. 2 days later, on a Saturday, I walked to my mailbox. There was an envelope with another check for $5,000. Totally unsolicited. And I often go back and I look at that and I would have said, what if I would have never taken the call? What if I would have never stepped out in the faith? Would I have seen God in the ways that I've seen God work and do things that I never could do on my own if I would have been held in prison by the fears that I had? You see what I'm saying? I don't care what age or stage you are in life. I think God wants to use all of us to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. To do, as Peterson says, to live life to the fullest and a life bigger than we've ever dreamed of. So I look at that and I say, what are you dreaming? What do you think God could do with you if you release the chains of fear? You see, it's in the times that we step out the most. It's in the times when Peter stepped out the most, doing something totally crazy, something that didn't make sense to the other 11. Peter got to do something the other 11 got to do, and Peter saw Jesus and it increased his faith, didn't it? But what if he wouldn't have stepped out of the boat? And I look at that with all of us, and my question is at Lent, when you look into your own soul, when you look into your own heart, and you look at your relationship with Christ, what is it that Jesus wants you to do with your life? And I hope you hear lots of sermons like this, because this is what I challenge my people with all the time at In Spirit, because I just think God wants to use us in this world to do crazy things for Him. Things that make no sense to you and I, but we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, right? But we got to step out and get started. And one of the biggest things that holds us back is the fear factor. I know some of you are thinking the TV show Fear Factor, right? We all have our own fear factor, don't we? F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Most of the things we're afraid of and worried about never happen anyway, do they? We do a whole lot of fretting for nothing. So my question tonight, as we approach the cross where Jesus gave it all, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. What does He want you to do? What's the fear that's holding you back? I want us to just think about that. Just quietly for maybe 15, 20 seconds. What does He want to do with you or through you or maybe for you where you've got to step out and you haven't done that because fear is holding you back? What is that? What is that? Knowing that Jesus came to set the prisoner free, let's pray and give Him those things, shall we? Father God, we come to You again, reminded of Your word and how You call us to follow You, to step out in faith. Lord, You desire to give us life to the fullest, a life better than we could ever dream up or imagine. You sent Your Son so that we, as prisoners, captives, could be set free. Lord, the truth is we're often held in prisons by our own chains, the things we impose upon ourselves. Lord, tonight I just pray that as we leave this place, we would all take a good look in the mirror, that we would be reminded of the faith that Peter had, maybe not a great faith, but at least a faith to say, Lord, let me, show me, and catch me if I fall. Lord, give us that ability to step out and serve You. If our world, our community, our neighbors, even our families ever needed to see faith in action, faith that steps out, Lord, use us to do that. Use us to be those people who do crazy things knowing that You're with us. Not to do foolish things, but to do faith things knowing that You are with us and You'll give us strength to do things that are beyond doing ourselves. So Lord, wherever there's fear in our lives, wherever there's that chain of fear, I pray that tonight would be a night where we could just start releasing that, where we could step out in faith. And Lord, I pray that wherever, whoever, whenever, any of these people, any of us step out in faith, that You not only recognize that, but that You just bless us, that You do things, that we see You, that You show up in ways that we would have never experienced if we would have stayed in the boat. Lord, You've never called us to be comfortable. You've called us to be holy. So Lord, just teach us and touch us and enable us to trust You so that Your will would be done. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.